Alrighty. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can go immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of their servants and gives time and to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It would be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and then he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants him to will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and who does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. From one who has been entrusted with much, not more will be asked.
Thank you. Thank you, Joshua. When I was a teenager, I was part of the Boy Scouts. I've been thinking about the Boy Scouts this whole week because I have been repeating in my head the Scout motto, be prepared. I've also been singing in my head the song from Lion King, Be Prepared. The Scout motto, much better than Scar's call to evil. But the Scout motto implies that the good Scout was to have the proper training, the proper equipment, and the proper perception so that when they needed to act, they would be able to act appropriately in the circumstance. That, I need to tell you, according to this passage of Scripture, is a mark of the disciple. It is a mark of the follower of Christ that we be prepared, that we have the proper training, that we have the proper equipment, that we have the proper perception, so that when the day of action comes, we will be ready. That's what is required of us. As Jesus concludes his larger teaching on the theme of discerning the path, of choosing to follow the Lord instead of the world, he calls for all his followers to be ready for the coming kingdom. The message last week concluded with hearing Jesus tell us that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. And we pick up this week where Jesus is now commanding us to anticipate heaven and not be satisfied with the things of the earth. To set our hearts on things above and not be satisfied with simply having the things below. We are told to be prepared. And the way Jesus tells us to be prepared, he shares three images of preparedness, all of which, well, the first two are culturally significant to that day and sort of lose themselves in translation. The first, he says, he commands for us, for the followers of his, to be dressed ready for service. Literally, what he says is, gird up your loins. Now, what does it mean to gird up your loins? Gird up your loins is a common phrase in the Old Testament. Exodus 12:11 translates the phrase this way. As they are preparing for the Passover, they are to make this feast, but this is what Moses instructs. This is how you are to eat the Passover feast, according to Exodus 12:11. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Girding up your loins is tucking your cloak in your belt. In other words, you are to be ready to move at a moment's notice. You don't want to trip over your outer garment. You have, for what is a cultural contemporary understanding of fashion of that time, you are, if you're a lady, if you wear dresses, you don't have to be a lady, I understand. If you wear a dress, if you have a ball gown on and you have to run, I don't know why you would run in a ball gown, except in the movies when there's a runaway bride, you sort of lift up the dress so that you don't trip over it. For guys, if you have a super long bathrobe and you have to suddenly run out of the house in your bathrobe, you're going to lift up that bathrobe. The scriptures don't even have you do that. Tuck it in your belt. Make sure that there is nothing impeding you from running whenever you have to. And that's how we should be. We should be ready to move at any moment. Secondly, not only are you to be dressed ready for service, gird up your loins, you're to keep your lamps burning. There weren't lights at that time. There were lanterns, but there were not electric lights where you could flick on a switch, where you could say, Alexa, turn on the light. Nothing like that worked back then. You had to, if you were sleeping and your lights had gone, if your lamp had gone out, you would have to trim, you would have to find a match, you would have to light it, you would have to make sure there's oil, you'd have to make sure of all sorts of different things. And what Jesus is saying is the wise person keeps it burning, keeps your lamp on, that you are ready to respond at any hour of the day or night. Keep the light on. That way, if anything happens, you are ready to go. Now, the third, we are to be dressed, ready for service. We are to keep our light lamps burning. We are to be like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Wedding banquets were, in that day and age, days long. You would say, I'm going away and I'm going to go to this wedding feast. And you didn't know, is he coming back tonight? Maybe. Coming back tomorrow? Maybe. Coming back a third day? Maybe. They are to be prepared. They are to be awake, aware, waiting for their master's return. And it reminds me sort of a babysitter. That the babysitter is there, and you say, yeah, we're going to go out to dinner, and then we're going to go to the movie, and then we're going to do something else, and then we'll be back. Probably around 10, maybe 11, maybe 12. Well, the babysitter doesn't say, you know what? I don't know when they're going to be home, so I'm just going to take a nap. I'm going to do whatever. I'm not going to be ready. When the door opens, when the door knocks, I'm not going to be ready to open it. But that's not what we're called to do. We are to be able to open the door whenever the master comes home. All three images are calling us to be continually in a state of readiness. The last thing you or I want to say when the master returns, when the Lord returns, I'm not ready. Let me get dressed. Let me turn on the lights. Let me make some coffee. I'm not prepared. Jesus is commanding the crowd to be ready. And by extension, he's commanding us to be ready. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the Lord to descend in the clouds and draw up his bride, the church? Or do you need more convincing? Second thing Jesus does is that he shares the importance of preparedness. Twice in the next couple of verses, 37 and 38, it will be good for those servants. 38, it will be good for those servants. It will be good for those who are found watching, who are prepared, who are ready. It will be good, verse 37 says, for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. The master will be so enthralled that they are ready for his return that he will serve them. This is an unexpected twist of graciousness. This is outside of the norms of society. This is an unexpected action. No one listening at that day and age would have thought that the master, upon coming home, would say, you know what? I just came home from a wedding feast. I'm not tired. I want to reward you for your faithfulness by serving you. And yet that's exactly what Jesus does. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It will be good, Jesus says in verse 38, for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. There are blessings for those who are faithful to the end. The master may come home after 9 o'clock. That would be when the second watch would start. 9 to midnight. He may come in during the third watch, midnight to 3 a.m. Would you be ready if he comes? It says in verse 46 that no one knows the time. No one knows the day. So we ought to be ready all the time. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning. Could be the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Could be February 27th, 2038. Don't hold me to that, but it could be. Ultimately, Jesus says, it would be good for you to be ready. God will bless you with graciousness. God will bless your faithfulness. And remember, if the owner of a house knows when a thief is coming, they will make sure the doors are locked. They will make sure that they are prepared for an unexpected, quote unquote, visitor, an unexpected interloper. And I think here part of it is, the warning is, if you're going to prepare, if you would prepare for something bad, then you really ought to be preparing for something great. If we knew when a thief would break in, we'd be ready. The fact is, we are certain, because we know the promises of God. We are certain that the Lord will return, so we will be ready. The scriptures tell us over and over again that the Lord will return. Like John 14:3, when Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am." The question is not if. The only question is when. When is Jesus coming back? Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's today, the hymn writer wrote. It's important then that we be ready. The final verses of this section, Jesus shares the implications of not being prepared. And I have to tell you that these verses are somewhat disturbing. Not somewhat disturbing, disturbing. Who is the faithful and wise manager, Jesus asks in verse 42, whom the master puts in charge of his servants and gives them their food allowance at the proper time? Again, it'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing what he is supposed to do when he returns. And then he gives three levels of consequences for disobedience, for a lack of preparedness. The first is those who are outwardly rebellious. And he talks about the people The servant that says, I don't know when the master is going to be back, so I'm going to act like I'm in charge. And I am going to strike the manservants, the maidservants, actually children, the lowest of the servant staff, the servant boys, servant girls. I'm going to strike them. I'm going to deny them their food. I'm going to eat, drink, and I'm going to get drunk. And what does he say? The Greek word is dikonomos. I'm going to cut you in two. Now that seems harsh. And we ought to consider that it is harsh. God is not going to be accommodating to our outward rebellion. And he is going to reject, literally dismember, disconnect us from the body if we are outwardly rebellious. And he's going to have us sit in the place of the unfaithful, the unbeliever. He's going to separate us from the protections of God. That's the worst. Then there are those that are willfully disobedient. They know what to do, and they choose not to do it. They will be walloped. They will be beaten with many beatings, struck with many strikes. But they will not be disconnected. And then thirdly, there are those who are ignorant. They don't know what they ought to be doing, but they aren't doing it right. They'll still be judged, but they will be struck with few strikes. That there will be consequences. Willful rebellion. Disconnection. Willful disobedience. Hardship, ignorant disobedience, tribulation. Jesus then concludes and says, all creation is responsible for what they do with what they have. And honestly, this is what he has been saying throughout chapter 12. Be careful of the truth. Be careful of power. Because you don't want to be a hypocrite. We are to be using what we have been given responsibly. Not to improve our status. Not to improve our station where we are hoarding up the things for ourselves. Where we're saying to ourselves, my soul, I have sufficient for many years. I can disengage. And certainly not to improve our security. Where we are worrying and fretting and taking matters into our own hands instead of trusting God. Who knows what we need? Who knows who we are? Much will be required of those who have been given much. Much will be asked of those who have been entrusted with much. We will be asked to take what we have been entrusted with and to serve others. And not just ourselves. We will be asked to care for the poor, the widow, the orphan. We will be put in charge of the master's house and told, make sure you feed those who are beneath you. We will be asked to be ready, knowing that we don't own the house, but rather that we have been entrusted to care for it until the master returns. And then we willfully and deliberately release what we have been given in trust back to the one who entrusted us with it. Peter asks a question in the middle of this conversation. Is this for us, or is this for everyone? And Jesus never actually answered. And that's because the follower of Christ, whoever it may be, is commanded to live a life prepared for his return and responsible with his provision. Our sermon in a sentence is this: the return of the Lord requires our readiness and our responsiveness. We are commanded to be ready, to be dressed, to be watching, to be awake, and we are commanded to be responsible with the resources we've been entrusted with until his return. With one eye toward the heavens and one eye to the household, we follow the instructions of our Lord and Master, rejecting hypocrisy, hoarding, worry, and we do the work he has given us until he returns. The return of the Lord requires that we be ready and responsible. So I ask again, are you ready for his triumphant return? Will he find you responsible when you open the door to him? C.S. Lewis wrote in God in the Dock, "The great thing is to be found at one's post as a child of God, living each day as though it were our last, but planning as though our world might last 100 years. We are living as if it is our last, ready to go. But we are also planning as if our lives may go on for another 100 years, responsible for what we have been entrusted with until he returns. The return of the Lord requires our readiness and our responsiveness. Shall we?